The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, our guest is Anna Herron from the Lloyd Library and Museum in Cincinnati, Ohio, one of the finest collections of herbal and botanical references, I would say, in this country. Each week on Your Holistic Health, we give you practical, evidence-based tips on different aspects of healthy living. And they're focused on wellness and prevention. And we try to turn to Scripture to support our discussions because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week, more good news for women, bringing on the blueberries. Here's another reason to enjoy them. Turns out that eating a half of a cup of blueberries 3 times a week will cut women's heart attack risk by 34%. And this is according to a new study found and written by Eric Rim, the Associate Professor of Epidemiology and Nutrition at Harvard School of Public Health. Blueberries are loaded with their antioxidants called anthocyanins, or compounds that might help lower blood pressure by keeping our arteries more elastic, and again, helping to promote heart health. And we can all use some more of that, can't we? I love blueberries. They're incredible this time of year and do enjoy. And in fact, if you've never picked your own, I'm going to challenge you to try that out this summer. Great family fun. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Anna Herron is the Exhibits Curator and Education and Outreach Coordinator at the Lloyd Library and Museum in Cincinnati, Ohio. She has degrees in history and has worked in archives for the past 14 years. She oversees the busy exhibits schedule at the Lloyd, arranges for educational interactions between students of all ages, and the library collections, of which there are many. And she manages the web and the social media presence of the Lloyd. Welcome, Anna, to Your Holistic Health.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
Well, the Lloyd is an incredible treasure to our community and the country, for that matter. Tell us a little bit about the history and who actually started this library.
Sure. The library started out as a research library for a pharmaceutical manufacturing company in Cincinnati called Lloyd Brothers Pharmacists, Inc., and they opened up shop in 1885. And in order to do their business properly and do proper pharmaceutical research, they needed a library. And so that's how we got started.
So there were a couple of brothers, and they were both pharmacists, were they not?
Right. There were three brothers. There was John and Ashley and the youngest brother, Curtis. John was really what you'd call, in today's lingo, the research and development guy. Ashley was the financial officer for the company, and Curtis was always what you'd call the natural-born botanist. So he was always interested in finding new plants that might be of use in the laboratory. Curtis, I sort of jokingly say today he'd probably be classified as a hoarder. So he liked to collect plants and he liked to collect books. And so in 1898, he asked his brothers to buy him out of the pharmaceutical business, and he's really the reason that the library's still going. They bought him out, and he put everything he had into the library.
He did a magnificent job. And there are a lot of significant displays to enjoy. Give us an idea of just one or two of them, please.
Sure. The biggest thing to see that's permanently on display is called the George Reevesel Jr. History of Pharmaceutical Chemistry exhibit. And it has two very significant pieces of major large pharmaceutical equipment, one which John Lloyd invented called the cold still, a beautiful copper distillation apparatus to extract medicine from plants. And next to it is kind of a later 20th century extractor, parts of it. And that one came to us from Research Triangle Institute in North Carolina, and it was used specifically to isolate the anti-cancer drug Taxol, which is still the drug of choice for ovarian cancer patients. And it's derived from the Pacific Yew. And what's kind of fun for us about that, not the ovarian cancer part, is you can't take Taxol unless you've taken Benadryl. And George Reevesel invented Benadryl in Cincinnati. So those things all tie together better than anybody could ever imagine.
You know, I didn't even know that history until I visited the library. And I think that's, again, part of the reason why it's such a special place and very much a part of our community for many different reasons.
Right. Some amazing things have happened in Ohio that have benefited so many people.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about some of your favorite references on those many different stacks at the Lloyd.
There's a lot to pick from. One of my favorite, probably because it has an archives connection, and that's always near and dear to me, but it's Tyler's Honest Herbal, and there are several editions of it, and a more recent one, which was co-done by Dr. Tyler and Stephen Foster, who's coming to the Lloyd in later this month. But Dr. Tyler was just a tireless advocate for public education on what herbal products and what nutritional products really worked, and he thought a well-informed public was one that could better take care of itself and prevent illness. And so that's probably one of my favorite because he's just so straightforward. And we have his archives, and so all the files that he used to build that book are at our fingertips.
You know, so many of the people that I know, and these are professionals as well as clients, are just really hoping to find more information, more references on herbs and the supplements. I mean, obviously, this whole category has just exploded into a consumer groundswell over the last 5 to 10 years in the United States.
Absolutely.
And what better way to start than at a museum or a library that is just essentially completely focused on, you know, the botanicals, if you will.
Right. We have 200 to 250,000 physical volumes, pretty much all on botany and medicinal botany. So if you can't find it there, it probably doesn't exist.
250,000. Well, I'm sure that brings people back in return visits, doesn't it? Because you can't possibly get through all of that in one visit.
Oh, yeah. No. Often we have people who, you know, they come routinely. We have some people who come as often as once a week, and we have people who, you know, come in at least quarterly because they're working on a long-term project or they know that we're going to have what they want and they won't be able to find it someplace else.
So perhaps an important piece of information is, and I'm assuming this, so please correct me if I'm wrong, none of the volumes can leave the building, right?
Correct. We are a non-circulating library. However, we can make photocopies either on paper or digitally of chapters or articles, and we do a pretty hefty business in what's called interlibrary loan in terms of making articles available, as digital copy.
So one of my favorite parts of the library during the visit that I had recently was the pictorial books. They're huge. And just to get, so our listeners can get their minds wrapped around this, these volumes are, what do you think, Anna, about 2 feet by 3 feet by?
Yeah, one of our biggest opens up to roughly 2.5 feet by 4 feet when it's, you know, between 4 and 5 feet when it's fully open. And that's a book on the orchids of Guatemala and Mexico, a 19th century lithograph volume, full color, life-sized orchids on these giant pages. And the book probably weighs a good 20 pounds. So it's a big book. We have a lot of really big books.
But it's wonderful because it is in full color. And these are hand-drawn pictures,
right?
Are they not?
Yeah, most of them, a lot of early stuff is, it might be an engraving, but they didn't have, you know, the capacity to do color printing, so they're hand-colored, a lot of them. We have some books where the prints were made by inking the plant, and that's how they got the image on the page, which is pretty unusual, and then those are hand-colored to fill in the details, so we have a lot of really unique volumes. And just the craftsmanship that goes into them, you just don't see anymore.
And, you know, again, it is so exciting to sort of see history go full circle. Many people think that the herbs and the interest in herbs is new. And in fact, it isn't, is it? It's very old.
That's correct. Our collection this year, we reach 520 years worth of botanical medicine information. Our earliest volume is from 1493. It's a book printed in Italian, basically home recipes, home cures, and we still collect material up to the present, so we're collecting 2013 now, so 5 centuries worth of botanical medicine information. It's really the fact that chemical and synthetic drugs, those are actually the new things.
They sure are. And in fact, to underscore your point, botanicals actually did form an incredibly important part of medicine and materia medica, if you will, throughout the 19th century. And here we are, you know, fast forwarding back into, I like to say, going back to the future, into what, you know, many would say was sort of another wave in the early part of the 1900s in the United States. And in fact, this will date me. I guess I can share, not the early 1900s, but when I was in pharmacy school, we had to make powder papers from crushed chemicals and in some fashion herbs, and they had to be per dose, per paper, neatly folded into a little box, and you didn't pass unless everything fit.
Right.
And it was tidy and what we call pharmaceutically eloquent. So it was fun way back then, but then we just kind of got away from that for a while, and now we have all of these proprietary formulations. I think maybe in many ways we could never go back, but it sure took a lot of the fun out of the start of our profession.
Yeah, there's a little bit of, I don't know, it's a little bit magical when you think about, you know, everything that went into making medicines available for people, and now they just sort of, you know, mass-produce pills and whatnot. So there are still plenty of folks out there making their own and being more in touch with the plant and its uses from start to finish. And that's really nice. And we get a lot of herbalists in who want to, you know, do just the right thing. And they're looking at some of the older volumes to see what was used in the 19th century and earlier for particular ailments. And we even get hardcore scientists in looking at the same materials. They go, okay, why was black cohosh used, and what part of the plant were they using, and how can we make it better?
I love it. I just love it. And again, history goes full circle, and the legacy lives on.
That's right.
If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight our guest is Anna Heron of the Lloyd Library and Museum in Cincinnati, Ohio, a collection of botanical references, a very fine one. We're going to take that short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and our guest with us this evening is Anna Heron of the Lloyd Library and Museum in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, Anna, tell us a little bit more about your clientele. I'm curious, who else visits your library, and why do you think they come?
We get actually a really remarkable array of visitors for so many different reasons. We have everything from amateur gardeners who just want to pick the right native plants for their yard and their garden, to major pharmaceutical or companies who are doing new botanical product research. But we get everything in between, just horticulturalists, botanists, herbalists, pharmacists. We especially get a lot of pharmacy students who are in school and having to do, you know, kind of over-the-counter herbal research. And then the surprise batch in there probably is we also get a lot of artists, but maybe not a big surprise since we just talked about the botanical books. But we've also hosted things like garden clubs, birding clubs, chemistry associations. We've had book clubs in who they're reading something topical that's kind of garden related, and they just kind of want to be in the right setting. So we get a huge array of users. I always joke that we've never gotten the same reference question twice.
That must be a tremendous delight for you to see such enthusiasm for this important compendium of work that I think, you know, again, goes beyond not only the profession or the community, but really extends to the nation.
Yes, absolutely. You think a lot of people go, I've never heard of the Lloyd Library, and or I've lived in Cincinnati my whole life and I've never been in here, but we've been around for over 100 years, and in 1949 the Library of Congress put together this list of 10,000 most important private libraries, and the Lloyd Library was number 6. That's kind of a big accomplishment. They don't still run that list. I don't know where we'd fall today, but we have been called the most significant library on botanical medicine in the Western Hemisphere by several people who claim to be in the know. We have an amazing rare books collection, and the closest comparable type collections are at places like Harvard and the New York Botanical Garden or the Missouri Botanical Garden. So we feel like we're in pretty good company.
And again, how wonderful. This is not a long drive from areas of Ohio.
No.
It would be a wonderful day trip, a field trip. It's something that can be a family experience. It really is, to me, inspirational because, in a way, it points us back to Mother Earth.
Yeah. It's all about, you know, kind of how we're all connected and dependent on one another.
And there is a richness to what is found in the earth. And in fact, I'm going to use scripture in Genesis to support that. And it's Genesis 1:29, where we hear that God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, and it is for all of us." And so that's a wonderful legacy. I again think that it's important for us to learn more about the seeds and the herbs and all of the different nutrition and health benefits and some of the stories of life that come through the perhaps more anecdotal use or more traditional cultural use. It's not necessarily, you know, randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial study.
Exactly. I mean, one of my favorite parts of the collection on the whole is we have a huge travel and exploration collection of early explorers, and there were always scientists on, you know, botanists particularly on those trips, and their job was to record, one, what plants they found and try to describe those and classify them at some point, but they also had to report how the native populations that they encountered were using those plants. And so it's a really rich resource on cultural, you know, kind of ethnobotany and you know, how plants were used everywhere. And that's a really amazing aspect of the collection.
Where in the library is that body of work found? Is there one specific spot, or is it just intermixed, these historical, I guess, collections intermixed, or...?
Yeah, well, we use the Library of Congress cataloging system, so they're kind of all down in the D's in Library of Congress system. And we're a closed stacks library, so, you know, you can't just wander through, but we have an online catalog. And so if you're interested in, you know, plants of Australia or Aboriginal use of plants in Australia or something like that, you can put those words into the catalog, and we can pull up all different kinds of materials, because some things are, you know, ethnobotany falls in a slightly different category than early travel literature, and we can, you know, our staff can pull together just a wide range of materials on whatever it is that interests you about plants.
How about the rainforest? That's a popular question that we often get asked.
Oh yeah, we have there's tons and tons of literature, early and recent, on particularly rainforest plants as medicinal sources, and that's a hot topic for modern scientists, particularly as the rainforests kind of start disappearing. And but I tell people we cover every part on the globe. If there's a plant there, we have information about it. And so we have tons of stuff on the Amazon. And this kind of brings me back around to Dr. Tyler and his Honest Herbal, because he would take these botanical expeditions down the Amazon where they would spend a week on a boat. And they would have classes and workshops. And those were put on, at least in part, by the American Botanical Council. And so he would go along as one of the workshop instructors. And so they would learn about the plants firsthand and talk about Aboriginal use and look at, you know, interesting species. So we have lots of information on that topic.
It sounds like an awful lot of fun. It's a trip I hope to take someday, not with Vero Tyler, but...
yeah, no.
That'd be a little tough. I'm curious, do you think you have any global visitors that of which you are aware? Or?
Oh, absolutely.
Do they tell you?
Oh, sure. We actually worked with the World Affairs Council to bring in a group from Africa in the fall, this past year, and so I knew sort of where they were from and the kind of things that they might be interested in, and they were absolutely astounded because where they're from, things are somewhere in between, you know, kind of modern and early tradition, and so a lot of their medical traditions, particularly botanical medical traditions, are still passed down orally. And so we had all this early, particularly French exploration from their region of Africa. And so this was the first time that they had seen information about their traditions in writing. And they didn't really know that it was out there from a few hundred years ago. So they were really kind of amazed. But we've had people in from Japan. We have people in from Europe. So we get world visitors all the time.
What an amazing story. I was just very moved by that moment when these global, you know, wonderful people came and for the first time experienced such a moving a piece of their history. How fabulous to be a part of that experience for you.
It was really amazing because you see the look of wonder on people's faces when they realize, you know, they have all of this oral tradition and they're struggling with, well, how do we get it on paper? And then for them to find out, well, some of it's already there and they had no idea.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
We are just about out of time, Anna. Give us a take-home message focused on the herbs and healing, and then please share with our listeners, if you will, where they can go for more information on Lloyd.
Okay, we'll do that part first. We're online, so www.lloydlibrary.org, L-L-O-Y-D. We have tons of information and contact info out there. Take-home message, though, Dr. Tyler, he's like my herbal hero. He thought that herbal medicine was great, but that he also thought that the average person wasn't provided with enough information to make the right choices about what was effective and what wouldn't hurt you. And so I think that it's do the research, and the resources are available. You don't have to be a member to use the Lloyd Library. Anybody can come in. You just buzz the little doorbell thing, and I'm here to do research on whatever plant. Lots of people are interested in berries and fruits and, you know, and somebody called the other day about fermenting vegetables. Do you have any information? Yeah, of course we do. We look in the catalog, and it pops up, even when I think I have no idea, and it's there. And so the information is out there, and a little time spent investigating can make all the difference in the world. You could hurt yourself and not even realize it, and it's possible to take those botanical medicines and do it the right way and prevent illness, and all that information is right there at your fingertips.
Fabulous. Thank you so much again, Anna Heron from the Cincinnati Lloyd Library and Museum, herbs and botanicals and so much more, for being a guest with us on Your Holistic Health tonight.
Thanks for having me.
It's time to wrap up our show with the quote of the week. It's about the fruits of the earth, how appropriate, and it's by Alma Hutchins. And I quote, "Mother Earth was the first physician and healer. Someday everyone will realize that she alone owns the true pharmacy in medicine," end quote. Thanks again to Anne Heron. Next week, our guest is going to be Mark Mukasey, physician and anthropologist and author of the new book, Spiritual Anatomy of Emotion. Please tune in again next week at this very same time for the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m. on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.